Yeah, I spoke last time at 1990. It was so good they invited me back 16 years later. No, it's all right. First of all, welcome to the great 22nd Annual International Pinball Expo Extravaganza.
I like that. Extravaganza.
Yeah. I'm going to thank a few people, please. Of course, I want to thank Rob Burke. Thank Rob. And Bridget Burke and Mike Pasak, of course. And Joe Camico, Gary Stern, who I ran into downstairs just a few moments ago. Everyone at Stern Pinball, including Lonnie and Dwight. And of course, Alvin Gottlieb and Mike Gottlieb from Alvin G and Company and Williams and Brian Schmidt, my first engineer. And Kyle Johnson, my current engineer, and everyone I've ever met at the Pinball Expo, and all of you. All right. Yes, I am the voice behind the machine. The latest one is Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm everybody on it except Captain Jack Sparrow. But anyway, how this whole thing started. First of all, really, I have to tell you, you people are the experts. I mean, you know, who did the engineering, who did the game, who did the flippers, who did the artwork, who did the cabinet, who did the wood, who shipped it in, whatever. You know, who did the electronics? You know, I don't know any of that stuff, really. So you people are the experts. I'm gonna tell the story, I told it 16 years ago, it's a true story, how I got involved with the pinball industry. I was about to go to a funeral. This is true, I swear it's true. About to go to a funeral. And before that, see, one of my friends' dad passed away, and I was going to go, and I was doing some recordings for Allstate Insurance in town here. And as I normally do, I left one of my cassette tapes. It has my character tape, my second character tape on one side, and my narration tape on the other side, which are just demonstration things. I received a phone call from this studio, and they said, this company wants you to voice up a pinball machine. I said, a pinball machine? I don't know anything about a pinball machine. I know about, you know, teacher's aids and slide films and commercials, because I was on a lot of commercials, and I still am. And I don't know anything about a pinball machine. So then I said this line, can I get out of it? And they said, well, we don't know the company, so we'll give you a call tomorrow. They called me back and they said, well, they want you to do Star Trek. I said, Star Trek? Yeah, they heard your tape and they want you to do Star Trek. Well, will you do it? Because we can't, you know, we don't know these people. I said, it sounds like fun. So I called up my friend and I said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to be there. I'll be there tonight. They want me to do Star Trek. Well, Star Trek, you can't turn that down. And I met Gene Roddenberry way back in 1981. So I didn't know about this. And then I walked in and I met Joe Camico, Brian Schmidt, a few other people. And the story that they told me was they were listening to tapes for 2 hours and they couldn't find the voices of Star Trek. So they're all sitting around bummed out and the engineer said, you know, this guy was in Fred Young and he doesn't know her voices. I said, sure, put it on. Immediately, they heard it, they were enthralled because it was Pee Wee Herman's Playhouse. I did it the way I wanted to do it. This is before I got into trouble with, that porn stuff. And,
it's really great to be there, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh. So anyway, here I am. And they heard and they said, and part of the tape, I have Star Trek. I put Star Trek on there, but I forgot George Takei, the Sulu, you know.
Lieutenant Zulu, your captain. We seem to have a Klingon battle cruiser on our viewer screen.
I left him out, so too bad. You know, I had everybody else, you know. And they said, that's the guy. So when I walked in there, and I was looking over this, they give me a script, and I said, okay, fine. Are you sure you're the same guy on this? I said, yeah. Well, you can't be all these voices. I said, oh, that's just, I got a lot more. A lot more? Oh, yeah. Now, let me preface by saying, we did that day, I think, 4 or 5 games. Now, we don't do that anymore. We do one game a day. First of all, they wanted to do Star Trek. Okay, that was the first one. Then we did something called Quick Start. Is that the name of it? Quick Start? But then we did King Kong and Batman. And boy, it was a long day. And I said, well, that was that. That was fun. And what was on the, what was at the Data East at that time was a game called Phantom of the Opera. You're familiar with that. Now, I didn't do that. They got some disc jockey to do it, and they said, oh, it's terrible. Oh, it's miserable. Do we need really somebody who's, you know, that could do stuff? So I said, well, that's that. And then Joe calls me again for something else, and that was Back to the Future. So we did that. And I was doing all these things, and then Joe calls me up and says, you know, there's this thing called the Pinball Expo. How would you like to talk over there? It'd be a lot of fun. I'll give you Rob Burke's phone number. And I said, all right, you need me? Yeah, you got me. But I called up Rob, whereas he tried to impress me. Where is Rob? Is Rob, did Rob left already? Oh, you're left, because he was trying to do his Yoda voice. Boy, oh boy. I was trying to do Yoda voice. So I want to meet you, so we had breakfast, I met Gary Flowers. And then I spoke at in 1990 at the Expo. So I told the same story at that time. And at that time, they said, what other game are you working on? And I couldn't tell at that time, after I finished Back to the Future, it was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Back to the Future came later. That came with a frantic phone call at 9 o'clock at night, whereas they couldn't get Michael J. Fox to read these two sentences. So I said, we'll take it off the track of the movie. I said, no, we want you to do it. I said, I'm not gonna get in trouble with Michael J. Fox. And I'm like, no, we got the contract, don't worry about it. So I did it. So that was, I know you want to hear what the lines are. I got plenty, don't worry, we've got plenty of time. We got plenty of time, I got plenty of voices. It was like, Doc, where, Doc, you're the superior Einstein. Then I said, don't worry about it, Doc, I'm gonna go back to 1885, I'm gonna bring you back. Well, they put it in the game, and I thought nothing of it. Then Joe gives me a phone call and says, oh, they want you to call you, they want you to call Amblin. I said, I'm in trouble now with Bob Gale and Steven Spielberg, oh my God. He says, no, they heard it. They couldn't believe that how they got Michael J. Fox on the game. I said, he's not on the game. I said, there's a, he wouldn't even allow his face to be on the game. All right, okay, fine. So I called, and it was Robert Zemeckis' secretary who I talked to, and she wanted me to do Roger Rabbit just in case the guy got sick doing Roger Rabbit, just to show you how exciting things got. So I did it for her. I said, okay, fine. So I did Roger Rabbit. You know, I know, yeah, I gotta do it, yeah.
Oh, it's absolutely incredible.
So we did that, okay, fine. Oh, you like that? I got plenty more. Oh, I got much more. Well, anyway, after I finished the first Expo, I received a phone call from one of my agents. She called me up and says, listen, you do Arnold Schwarzenegger? I said, yeah. Well, this company, this game, they need this recording for a pinball machine. I said, here we go again. which company? This was Williams. And this was Saturday morning. I said, okay. So I called up this individual who I run into named Chris Craner. And he says, I hear you do Arnold Schwarzenegger. I said, yeah. Your agent said that you do. I said, yes, I do. Yes, sir. Do you know anything about our company? I said, yes, I do. I was just here at the Expo. Of course I know about the company. I know. So what do you know about our company? I said, what game? I said, Funhouse. How do you know about Funhouse? Well, I was just at the Expo. He didn't know that. I don't know. He said, you do Arnold? Yeah. He says, but everyone just calls. You just say, I'll be back. I said, no. You have to talk in the Austrian accent.
If you do Arnold's voice, you have to enunciate. You have to actually say things in full sentences. You just can't say, all right, I'm at my Schreiber, all right, I'm doing all right, and I build bodybuilding with my dumbbells. I don't have to worry about anything. You have to talk in full sentences, so don't worry. I just can't say, oh, don't worry, I'll be back.
So he said, okay, fine. And I said, well, I'm sure he says, you've done this before. I said, does it really matter if I really say yes? And he says, no, okay. So I said, thank you very much. I'm sure you have other people to talk to that's going to be doing Arnold today. My agent calls me back, hired. So then I go over to Williams, and I walk in through security. And the first thing I see is a Data East game of Back to the Future. So I don't know, you guys listen to everybody else. Go, oh, yes, we do. So you're on that game. I said, yes, I am. You're also Doc Smith down there? I said, yeah, I'm Christopher Lloyd. He didn't care what I did on that game. Yeah, he didn't care.
Monty, I'm telling you right now, I gotta go back to the future. Don't worry about that, Monty. We're using my DeLorean.
You know, he didn't care. It's just Michael J. Fox. Oh, you like that? Okay, I got more. Oh, yeah, yeah. I love it. Yeah, give me more and more applause. Yeah, I need that. Well, anyway, then it went on and on and on. It kept on going on and on and on. Then it's Star Wars. Let's see, Lethal Weapon. Oh, my God, so many. I just finished, I think, Pirates of the Caribbean. I think that's my 30th game since 1989. See, this is my normal speaking voice.
This is the one that you sometimes hear on the air. You've heard this one before. Beautiful Lake, WLAKFM 94.
Yeah, that's a sexy voice. Yeah, but nobody wants that. They want to hear all the other crazy things. They want to hear the fun stuff. So Rob called me up, and then he was so thrilled with me, he decided to give me another phone call. Rob, and I love him dearly, called me at 4 o'clock in the morning, doing his Yoda again. And I said, will you practice a little bit? I said, you're going, I said, that's not how Yoda sounds. You sound like Miss Piggy.
Well, you know, it depends. I'm still looking for frog face, yes.
Don't worry about that, Piggy. I just don't want to be with a frog. I don't want to be with a pig, you know?
What's the matter, frog? I'm not for you.
No, I just want to be with a fat pig. You got to move the pork.
Move the pork! Move this! See ya!
Now. So he, oh, you like that. All right. I got it. So anyway, he calls me up. He was so thrilled with me that I was in, came and spoke and everything, and I was so dead tired at 4 o'clock in the morning. I didn't want to, you know. So I said, okay, and then next year I was back again for other games, and I've been here seeing all of you. And, you know, it's just, I mean, and Harley Davidson I'm on, and Lethal Weapon. The strangest thing with Lethal Weapon, you familiar with Lethal Weapon?
Yep.
Yeah, you like the way Joe Pesci's yelling and screaming on that game? Guess what? Guess who?
It's Leo Getz, right? Yeah, okay, oh God, come on, everyone cheats.
I'm watching the old Joan Rivers show. Holly Mollet from Premier Magazine goes on there. She was at the premiere of Lethal Weapon 3 or whatever it was, and the pinball game is there. She says, I'm playing on this pinball game, it's amazing. Joe Pesci's yelling and screaming at me. So I got on the horn with Brian. I said, is that really Joe on there, or is that me? He says, no, that's you. I said, I'm gonna blow the whistle. So I call up Joe, and he says, Mr. Pesci would be very, very upset if you actually call the station, say it's really you on there. So I never called. Because he was filming something in town. I don't want to get in trouble with him. You know, I just didn't. So all this stuff, all these games, Frankenstein, the original, Maverick, Sharky's game, what was it? Sharky's Machine?
Sharky Shootout.
Guess who? That's right. And then I did all the, then I got a phone call from Alvin G and Company, and I did all, who's familiar with Alvin G when they used to be around? I did all the voices on all those games. One of my favorites over there was the Mystery Castle of Doom. You familiar with that?
Yes.
Guess who? Yeah. Well, I walked in one day, and that was the tournament game, and I heard myself screaming out of 20 games. I'm walking here. My God, and I did everybody on the, and all the weird screams and everything. But sometimes my voices don't get in the game, like Space Jam. I got a phone call. That's how Joe got me one day. He said, "Let's hear you do some Warner stuff." I said, "What do you mean?" I knew what he meant. "Let's hear you do Bugs Bunny." Okay, so I was doing Bugs. Want me to take you back to your childhood?
Yeah, what have you today, Doc? What a goof! Yeah, what a maroon! He probably studies for a blood test in Flunks.
So anyway, you like that? I got it. So he says, let's hear Marvin the Martian.
Oh my goodness, now I can blow up the earth.
I'm going through all the. Let's hear Yosemite Sam.
Yeah, Yosemite Sam, I'm the meanest mother that you ever saw in your life.
Let's hear. And they're asking me to go through. I said, all right, wait, what is this for Space Jam? He says, yeah. I said, all right. So will you do it? I said, no. I'm not going to get in trouble with Warner Brothers. That's all I gotta do. They'll sue me. I can't, you know, I can't get the law. I'll get in trouble. No. You'll do it. And you'll go to them and they have to approve it. I said, suppose they don't, then I won't go in the game. If they do, it will. And they didn't, so it didn't. So what happened to all those recordings? Brian took them. I hear he's selling them or something. I don't know what happened. But that was it. And then Joe got me. He says, listen, I do a great impression of Ray Clay. Would you like to hear it? I said, the voice of the Chicago Bulls? Sure. So all of a sudden I hear, and now, you know, and now our Chicago Bulls. So I said, more energy, Joe, come on, more energy. Give it all you got. It was really Ray Clay. He was sitting in Joe's office at the time. He loves to do that to me. You want to hear another one? This will be like being a voice artist. What somebody called me a voice master because I'm able to do all these really wild, wild things. So Halloween, it's a trip because the kids come to my door, you know, and they got video cameras now, and they want to tape me doing stuff, and they want to hear the Crypt Keeper, that's not me on the Crypt Keeper, by the way. That is John Cassirer. But I was supposed to do it. Hello, fiends. This is your friend, the Crypt Keeper. Oh, this is my friend, Juan. He got me all teed off, so I made a hole in Juan. Now, make them. Oh, thank you. I got a lot more. They come to the door and they want all this stuff. All right. Joe calls me up one day, 1993, and he says, oh, by the way, Fred, can you do Jeff Goldblum's voice? I said, no, I really can't. Well, you better learn how. We better learn how. What is this about? Jurassic Park? Yes. Get some videotapes. You get a week. A week? I could have used a month. So I was watching these terrible movies with Jeff Goldblum, trying to get his voice out, and I finally figured out how to do it. I had to bite these two teeth down and stutter, and there was Jeff Goldblum's voice, right? Yeah, you know, with the dinosaurs. Oh, you like that? So I go in there, they brought me a little tyrannosaur, in there, and I'm because they got me some stuff from the, from the movie that was confidential. Steven Spielberg was very hush hush. So he said, do whatever you want because you can't, if you're seeing a great big dinosaur and say, oh, look at that, isn't that interesting? You're not gonna do that. You're gonna go, and so we were screaming and yelling and yelling and screaming and everything like that. And then it got to a point where Joe wouldn't even come to recording sessions anymore. He says, you and Brian will handle it. I said, okay, fine. We're outside doing Starship. Joe, you're familiar with Starship Troopers? Yeah, that's me also, among other things. And so it got to a point where it was on automatic pilot. Oh, just let Fred do it. He'll voice it up, no matter how tough it is. I said, it takes a while to do this stuff, It takes a while. We did Star Trek, and interestingly enough, that Star Trek game, the only place I'm on it is at the end. That was the one with the transporter. You remember that one? Remember that Star Trek game? At the end of the game, I was allowed to say, live long and prosper. But it couldn't sound like Leonard Nimoy doing Spock. It couldn't sound like this.
Live long and prosper.
Because they were trying to keep William Shatner happy and Leonard Nimoy happy and everybody else happy. So that's why I'm not on there. But they went to the Forest Kelly, who did the game for scale. And they went to James Doohan, God rest his soul. And they said, what would you like? Well, my wife loves pinball games, so they gave him a pinball game. But they all thought it was me on there. I said, no. Because Joe didn't know, because he's not at the recording session anymore. What does he know? He's not there, so what? Well, he thought I actually did that. Oh, yeah, I could have done it. I could have done all of that. I did all of that. Bones, I'm Scotty and Spock with the warp engines.
Well, I can't do that. I'm a doctor, not an engineer. Really, Doctor, that would be illogical to discuss without a proper point of reference. Aye, Captain. The Hull system seems to be inhibited. I can't get any pounded lithium crystals.
We got to go to the warp port, Captain. I'm still looking for the nuclear vessels. The nuclear vessels. No. I got a lot more. Some of the games that I'm not on, I could do the voices for, but I'm not on them because they went to the actual people. And I said, okay, fine and dandy. Harley Davidson, yes. I am on that. I am on Pirates of the Caribbean. I'll get this out of the way right now. Do you like Pirates of the Caribbean? Because I haven't seen the full thing yet. You like that? Yeah. I'm everybody on it except Captain Jack Sparrow, as I said. There's about four voices. There's the English pirates, the Cockney, the English pirate, of course. There's the
Cockney pirate, all right. I have to do something about that.
There's the French pirate, yes. And they love this line. Yes, I spit on your bones. Whatever. And then there's the mean, rotten,
Be hearties. Where's Jim Hawkins today?
And he said, that's brilliant, that's wonderful. It's not brilliant, that's not wonderful, that's Robert Newton.
Who?
Long John Silver.
Who?
I said, Treasure Island, because all the voices I had to do had to be approved by Disney. And so did the script. So I got 21 pages of script, and we're there working on it very hard, very hard. So hard that we had to do an extra session on the whole thing because had even more stuff. So they did, it's nice that I'm dependent on and everything. But I'm not on The Simpsons. I wanted to be on The Simpsons. You want to hear The Simpsons?
Yeah,
get this out. Who do you want to hear? Homer? I worked with Dan Castellaneta when he was starving to death. Yes, I did.
Well, Homer's voice is basically like this. As a matter of fact, that stupid Mr. Burns, he won't let me get drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. He'll have to get drunk at 10.
Let's see.
Yeah, that's right, I like Homer.
Hey, Homer, can I ask you a deadly question?
Yeah, good boss, Flanders.
Oakley dunkley.
Let's see, who else? I was doing all of, because I was practicing, I thought I was going to do the game, and no, okay, fine and dandy. So I was doing Burns and Smithers.
Well, Smithers, who's that person there like the cut of his jib?
That's Homer Simpson, sir, one of the schmoes that works in the basement. God, my mouth feels like an ashtray.
Well, I guess so you cooked it.
Yes, Lenny. Hey, how you doing, Carl?
I'm okay. How you doing, Lenny? And then, let's see, who else? There's so many of them. You like Apu at the Quickie Mart?
Oh, hello today, Mr. Homer. How are you doing today? Oh, you shouldn't have to come in with microwave reviews and some squishies.
Hey, Apu, this is Stale. Can I get my money back?
Only straw credit. Woohoo!
Oh, you're having a good time, huh? Aren't you glad you came to this? Aren't you glad you came to see me? Because I'm all over the place. Let's see.
On a Chief Wiggins. Okay, boys, let's go have some donuts.
There's Mo.
Hey, Mo, I need a beer.
Okay, Homer, I'll give you a beer. I'll give you a free one.
Well, you never gave me a free beer, Mo.
That's because you're a rumball body.
Of course, there's...
You like that, huh?
There's Principal Skinner. All right, Bart Simpson, I know that it's you.
The women's voices I stay away from. No, there was a guy in town here doing McComber, and I thought he was going to get sued for doing all these things. But he tried to do some of the women's voice, it just wasn't there. You can't do Bart. I was showing somebody else how to do Bart's voice, but they have a woman's voice, and I don't do the women's. I mean, that's really Julie Kavner's voice that does Marge and everything. And so I concentrated all the other ones, you know.
Like Krusty, how you doing there, kids? And how about some pork products? Oh, those brisket burgers lay on my chest.
And Groundkeeper Willie, all the miserable people are gonna clean up that crap I'll be. I can't believe it. I gotta go down.
Oh, you like that, huh? You like that. And so we were practicing all the symptoms. Well, I said, okay, let them. Okay, fine. Then we went on to other things. So this went on and on and on up to the present day. Because they know they can depend on me and I can do the multiple voice and everything, but they never came up with a Sesame Street one. And here the kids, you know, Halloween, would you do Elmo for, Elmo's pretty hot right now, isn't he? You like Elmo, huh? No, you don't like it. Some people do, some people don't, it depends. But it's a hot voice.
Yeah, it's a really, really hot voice, you know what I mean? Yeah.
But it's a hot voice. You try to do that in a bathroom shower one day, practice it. So this went on and on and on and on and on. And as always, I've always met the most intelligent people here at the Expo, all from all over the world. So it's always a pleasure to come here. Now, I could go on and do some more shtick and voices for you, but I'm sure I can see the questions that are bubbling in your brain. So why don't we take some questions and see what's going on? Don't worry, I'm here. Go ahead, shout it out. Next to what?
Next to Stern Games.
I can't talk about it. However, since you asked me, I have been practicing a couple of group of voices that I might throw at you right now, but I don't know if I'm gonna be doing them because I haven't been caught, but you never know. You guys are familiar with The Family Guy? Are you? You know those? That's Seth MacFarlane. And I don't wanna get involved with copyright infringement or anything because From doing the pinball games, I got called from other companies doing redemption. Everyone went in at Chuck E. Cheese. I'm Bozo the Clown on the Double Bucket game. That happened by accident also. And Incredible Technologies and redemption things. But who was practicing the Family Guy? That's Seth MacFarlane.
You see, he talks to the boss and asks you, you know, Peter Griffin, he makes Homer Simpson look like a genius there. I see Lois, how can I say it? Brian's a dog.
And he does the voice of Brian. You know, Brian the dog.
Yeah, Peter. Yeah, it says that you're basically a fool and an idiot. All you know is a cocktail and a green olive all set for the day.
And, of course, Stewie.
Oh, yes, Stewie. yes. I can't believe I came out of your vagina. I'm going to kill you all. Oh, Brian, by the way, who's that over there?
Oh, that's your father, Stewie.
You know, who's that idiot over there?
Stewie, that's your father.
That's what I mean. Who's that idiot over there?
Go on. Oh, you like that, huh? All right. Continue. Oh, any question?
Anything.
Yes. Oh, wait. Who's okay. Yeah.
How did your whole career in doing voices, I mean, not just pinball, but in general, start? Was that your first career, or did you have a career before that?
I was working for an insurance company. It's my big career. And how did I get the job, you may ask? I'm glad you asked. I said, they didn't look at my degrees. I have about 11 diplomas, so obviously I get a good education. So in answer to your question, I did a voice. They wanted to hear how I sounded on the telephone. And I said, all right, no more voices. I reached a point where I said, no more voices. 1970, no more voices. Well, we want to hear how you sound on the telephone. Well, this is what I did. And I said, okay, well, let me get on the phone. So when I got on the phone,
I used one of my announcing voices like this. And they said, my God, you sound different over the phone.
I said, isn't that incredibly something? How do you like that? Well, you're hired. And then I got out, somebody had a radio show, and they said, what are you doing working for an insurance company for? Come on my show. And I came on his show, and that started other things too. And then I signed with a couple, because I thought everyone can do this. And then I found out, no, that's not the case. Not everyone can do this. That's what they said, because recording for a pinball game is a lot different than recording for a regular commercial. Because I may have to read a line 3, 4, 5 times in character and stay in character for as long as they want me to. Okay, it's different than doing animation. I've done animation also and slide films and things. So it lets my imagination run wild. It's like I'm doing a cartoon, like I'm doing a Disney cartoon every single time I do a game. You know, and they're sitting back there letting me go on and on and on. And when I'm locked in the character, anything can happen. And it normally gets in the game. Because all the stuff I did, even the outtakes, went to Pirates of the Caribbean. You got a question? Go ahead.
Do you do any sound effects, the non-voice things?
That's somebody else. He doesn't do voices, and I don't do sound effects. I played around with one time. I said, no, I think I'm better doing voices, and this guy's better doing sound. But I met that person. He was doing trains and whistles and all this stuff. And he asked me, how do you do those voices? How do you do that? I said, very well, thank you. He said, how do you do that? I've been on the set of motion pictures. I was with Sean Connery for a whole week. That was a trip. He's a lot of fun.
Because you got that wonderful thick Scottish accent, you know?
So I'm on the set, and this guy's an opera singer, PhD in music, and he wants to know how in the hell I do these voices. I said, I have a lot of practice. Lots of practice. So I'm listening to Sean, he does
actually talk like this. This is how he talks.
So I'm there. So I was telling somebody, I said, if Q wouldn't have given him that suitcase on the Orient Express and from Russia with love, he would have died on the Orient Express. Well, I don't know Sean Connery's behind me, so I turn around. Sean turns around, looks at me, and says,
you might be right.
What are you going to do? Who else had a question? Somebody else had a question. What? Yes, all the Hanna-Barbera. I practiced all the Hanna-Barbera characters growing up. You see, nobody ever asked, where did you get these voices? How did that happen? I had a tonsillectomy when I was 7 years old. Poisonous, toxic tonsils. And they popped them out, and one day I'm watching the old Huckleberry Hound show, and I started talking in his voice, and that's how it started. And I thought, well, you know, then I got into high school, see what I can get away with. Then I imitated the teachers. The teachers would ask me a question. I answer them in his voice. Especially Mr. Davin. Mr. Davin, God rest his soul, wherever he is, he's still doing biology lab in heaven, I think, by now. He had a lisp.
He talked like this. This is exactly how he talked. This is his voice. And he had a lisp. I swear to you, it's the truth. The one he said, now Fred, explain to me the three properties of an atom. I said, well, you see, it's like this. There's the proton, and the kids would laugh. Now, they didn't even... Well, you see, it's like this. There's a proton, neutron, electron. The proton is positive, the electron is negative, and the neutron is neutral. So with that, he said, true. You know, Fred, I have to tell you, this is the truth. He's spraying the people of front, you know, with him. You know, I have to tell you, Fred, not only are you a very good science student, but you have a beautiful speaking voice.
How do you like that? I mean, it's true. Then, to top that off, folks, they had an intercom in the school. Well, I decided I'm going to imitate the assistant principal, dismiss the whole school. So I got on there, you know, Mr. Corcoran, and I said, this is Mr. Corcoran. The entire school is now dismissed. Well, the bell rang, and da 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 da. And then they, you know, come here, go downstairs, you know. Well, what do you mean? How can anyone imitate the assistant principal? I mean, what are you talking about? Nobody can do that. Oh, well. So we got it. And then other things came up. I mean, I was doing, Sesame Street started, so I started imitating that stuff. And then Star Wars, of course, became very, very big because I got woken up at 6 o'clock in the morning one day. And I get on the phone, and my eyes are, you know, I'm just tired. I go, hello? And somebody says,
my kid, he wants to talk to Yoda.
I said, and have him call LA and talk to Frank Oz. I said, who is this? It was somebody. And so I said,
hey, the Jedi Master. Mm-hmm.
So I did that. But the nice thing is, when somebody is sick, I get a phone call, woke me up with sound sleep. My cousin's sick. He wants to talk to Big Bird or Grover or something. We had talked to him, I said, sure, and he gets on the phone, and he wants, and I put on their Big Bird and everything, and he got well, and that's really the nice thing about the whole thing. So I don't mind doing that, you know, for that kind of thing, you know. Other times it gets crazy. Other times. Who else got a question? Yes?
I know some of us, when we hear our voice on tape, we sound different. Do you have to, like, record yourself and listen to yourself?
Absolutely.
Do you sound different in your head than what we're hearing?
Everyone here has a head tone. When you record yourself, you say, oh, that's not me. So I have to know how I sound. So I have to record myself. Now, when I'm doing a voice, I have to practice over and over and over and over 7-8 hours. If I'm going back and forth between, you know, characters like Homer or anybody, you know, I make it look easy, don't I? When I go back, you know,
Well, Simpson, I guess I'll have to fire you tomorrow, or maybe some other time.
Oh, gee, thanks, Mr. Burns. Yeah, but don't I go back to work now?
Make it look easy, don't I? Boy, you don't know. When I was doing that with Space Jam, oh, man, going back and forth
a fine thing. I get stuck here with those rabbit dribbling the ball.
Come on, Gaffy. Come on, pass me the ball.
I don't have to worry about that.
I heard that.
Says that goes in the game. Oh, you like that? You like that? It's a lot of. I have to practice. I make it look easy, don't I? Don't I just make it? You know, just make it look easy. I go on and on and on, right? Yeah. But it's hard. That's the whole thing. I have to make it look effortless. I recently got called to do the voice. Believe it or not, of Orville Rittenbacher. I said to my agent, "He's dead. He's dead. Why do you?" Because they want to do some commercial, whatever. And it took me about an hour on the computer that they gave me to figure out his voice, because he's from, you know, Indiana. He's Orville Rittenbacher. Well, I haven't heard yet, so who knows what's going to happen with that. If I'm up for the next couple of games, maybe. I don't know yet. Continue. Who else had it? Somebody else had a question on this side? Somebody else? Come on, I didn't wear all you guys out. Come on. Don't be afraid. I won't bite you. Yes, I have, but I didn't do that on the Twilight Zone. Or you mean this? You're crossing to another dimension of sight, dimension of mind. And unlike this door with the key to imagination, a door that leads directly into the Twilight Zone. You mean that? No, I don't do that. No, I don't do that anymore. Yes, I do. Yes. Want me to say about it? Oh, okay.
I was going to say, what other products, I mean, besides pinball, have you done commercials?
Oh, yeah.
Have you done any theme parks?
Six Flags of Great America, I could call them, do their spook.
They wanted Boris Karloff, basically. Pardon me, miss, but I've never done this to a real, live girl.
And you familiar with the Pillsbury? Well, in 89, I was the Pillsbury Doughboy for 6 months.
And now, here's what else from Pillsbury. Here's a beat you should know. Pillsbury's got the very best dough. How about those world-famous cinnamon rolls?
Did that for 6 months. It paid for my paneling, it paid for my flood control, it paid for my floor, it paid for a lot of stuff. It was really, that was a lot of fun. That was a hard work too, because they, at that time they didn't have, you know, the video monitors were kind of archaic, so they're showing me, and I'm dancing along with the Pillsbury Doughboy. I'm dancing along with him, and I'm saying,
oh yeah!
And I'm singing the rap song and all this stuff. Oh man, it's hard work. What, you have a question?
Anything.
Yes.
Gotta ask, Three Stooges.
Oh my God, I met them when I was 10 years old. I met them. Well,
yeah, what's going on, Mo?
I'll snap your head off, you know. But I'll snap your head off, you know. But they came out, they were very nice. And the thing is, it got pretty violent. They came out, I was at the old Uptown Theater here. They were down at Bozo Circus. And they came out, and the audience just went nuts. I've never seen, a roar from an audience before. And so he says, all right. He says, kids, first of all, I want to take a bow for my brother, Curly. Big applause. My brother, Shemp, big applause. And kids, don't go and take a hammer and hit your old man with it over the head. And don't poke your eyes out. We don't really do that. Look, it's all rubber. We know what we're doing, because kids were actually doing that. They were actually hitting their fathers over the head with a hammer and poking him in the eyes. Ridiculous. You know, but I grew up when they were nice, and you went backstage, and they were nicer than any people could be. But they were a lot smaller. They weren't that tall. They weren't that tall, you know. But they were very, very nice. Yes, and yes.
Have you met other voices like Rich Little or Mel Blanc?
Mel Blanc. You didn't ask me how many voices I really have.
How many voices do you have?
Oh, now you asked me. I'm supposed to have 998. It's 787 right now, I'm counting. Mel Blanc had actually, I did a study about him, and Dawes Butler, and Don Messick. He had 1,200 voices, he really did. Unbelievable. It's enough I can keep track of 787. But he had 1,200 voices. Remarkable. And then there's Dawes Butler, because I did, you know, on my I did the Jetsons. You know, I get there's a kid over at Jewel, and he comes up to me, and I'm carrying packages, and he wants to hear Scooby Doo, so he calls me Scooby Doo. He says, "Hi there, Scooby Doo." So I'm carrying packages, and I turn around, and I say,
"What do you want? You're shaking today."
And he gets crazy. And Jewel, I'm carrying packages.
Now what's the matter, Scooby? You want a Scooby snack? Yow! Don't look behind the door.
No, Shaggy, don't look there. No.
I'm at a Jewel. I'm carrying packages. What? I haven't met Mel. He passed away, but I was a big fan of Mel. Big fan of Dawes Butler, Charles Dawson Butler. You're familiar with Dawes Butler at all? You're familiar with the Jetsons? Okay. He did basically. Remember Henry downstairs on the Jetsons?
How you doing today, Mr. Jetson?
How you doing today, Henry?
That was Jack O'Hallie. You like?
Henry, where's my car?
I can't believe it's over here, Mr. Jetson.
Now, Don Messick, who did Scooby-Doo, you can hear Scooby-Doo when he does Astro. He was the voice of Astro.
I love you, Rorge. No, Rorge.
And Dawes Butler was the voice of Elroy. You familiar with Elroy?
Oh, Dad. Something seems to be mad with Astro.
Astro, why don't you look out the window like other dogs?
I love you, Rorge.
No, so Don Messick did, it was a combination of all these people, and then Mel Blanc did.
Mr. Spacely Jetson.
What do you want, Mr. Spacely? So he did Mr. Spacely for many years. That was his last thing he did, the Jetsons movie. Mel Blanc, yeah. But he was terrific, 1,200 voices, my God, he did all those mean, I used to practice that constantly. Because who knew? Who really knew?
What, I got you all stunned? This is not an oil painting. All right. Wait, what, gonna have some fun? Okay, yeah, I got it.
Taking lives in the Chicago area.
Yes.
How important has staying here been for your career?
Well, I've been asked to come out to, we can do stuff on the phone line now because of the computers and everything. I'm coaching somebody at Steppenwolf right now. They're understudying a play that's gonna be opening up. And because of this, I've also been on slot machines, but how many other people? I mean, I'm not on the Monopoly game. The guy that's on the Monopoly game, I know him, he's one of my actor friends, I know him. Of course, he says I do the best Yoda around. That's what he says. But I know him very well. But how many other people can say that they're heard actually all around the world on all these games? Think about it, 30 games, and God knows how many games there are around here, and how many games I'm on today. How many people can actually say that you're heard all around the world? That's nice. That's nice. I'll be doing more things. Don't worry. Remember, you heard me when.
You heard me when?
Yes?
Does age play a factor on your voice? Like, as you get older, does your voice change?
Okay, I'll give you an example. Did you see Star Trek the motion picture? Okay. Did you hear how Leonard Nimoy sounded in that movie? He sounded a little, to me, when I first heard him, he didn't sound like Spock. He didn't even sound like Leonard Nimoy, right? You know why? Too much smoking. Yeah, I don't drink, I don't smoke. Neither did Mel Blanc, neither did Dawes Butler or Don Messick. Once you start smoking, it puts nodules on your vocal cords, and I don't need that. Besides, I set an example for kids. They're always asking me, should I get an education? Should I just do this with the talent? I said, you gotta study also. This didn't happen overnight. It takes to become a doctor, it takes about 18 years, 4 years of college, 4 years of medical school, 3 years of internship, 3 years of medical residency, about 14, 15 years constant study. It takes over 36 years to become a voice artist, a voice master. Somebody called me from LA, okay, voice master. In fact, I was coaching some people to Rod Serling in LA too. They called me up. You gotta help me. I said, well, go to somebody in LA. No, you gotta help me. So it happens. But if you drink and smoke, it just really kills you. Yeah. And that age, I don't think it really, you know, you should see Be Benaderet did Betty Rubble and all these other things way into her 70s, 80s or something. And Thurl Ravenscroft, who was Tony the Tiger, he was about 85 and he was still doing stuff for Disney and commercials and things. So I don't think it really, you know, as far as that's concerned. On camera, it's another story, so I don't mind being on camera. But this stuff, you know, you never know, because the illusion, you know. I'm also part of a master's degree. Somebody did a master's degree on external stimulations for psychological behaviors. So I used the Sesame Street characters to teach kids. And I came up with the talking storybooks, and I didn't put a patent on that stupid thing. That's what happened, but that's another story. Yes?
I think what he meant was, as 10 years has gone by, or even longer, have you had to change the way you do a voice over time so that the way you do it now sounds like
the way it's supposed to be? Well, I sometimes practice, but it's all locked up in my head already. So if I don't drink and I don't smoke, you can really abuse yourself vocally. Listen to some of the people, how they're, hacking away. I mean, I could tell that their voice isn't what it used to be. You know, something's not there. So I will practice it. If somebody says, hey, it doesn't sound right, then I'll go back and repractice. So it's this whole study thing. So you didn't think it was this complicated, huh? Then I get up in the morning, all of a sudden I'm Homer Simpson or something. Or somebody said, this is in the eighth grade. This went back as far as the eighth grade is concerned. I was doing Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog.
And he says, you're gonna lose your identity. I haven't become a frog. I haven't become anybody. I've become Yoda, you know. But you have to work real hard. I mean, I have to make it look effortless. But that's where the studying comes in. You know, see any great actor, performer. This is all acting, by the way. All the people on The Simpsons and all the people on Family Guy and all this other stuff, you know, they're all actors. Because you've got to be in character.
Yes.
If you were doing a voice like Sinatra, you probably have an ear for hearing the difference.
between when he was young and when he was older. Yeah.
And you know what to kill that was the smoking, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So could you give us a contrast sample of when he was young and when he was old?
We're talking?
I don't know.
He was croaking. Well, there's a guy in town here that's been doing his Sinatra. I know him, but of course, when they want something like that, they really call him in because he's got a whole stage show. But in answer to your question, I haven't really been doing Sinatra or Elvis because there's just too many Elvis impersonators. And there's just, his voice came down quite a bit because of the smoking and drinking. And you notice that with Dean Martin also. And I noticed that with Sammy Davis Jr. too. If you notice, when he sang normally, I mean, it was just the smoking that killed him.
Do you think you have an ear?
I have. I have ultrasonic hearing. Now, I recently was clogged up with wax. So I went to my new ear doctor, because the other one passed away and I couldn't see him, you know, whatever. I mean, I'd love to see him, but I don't think I'm going to, you know, try to do something to see him. Well, anyway, I went in and I told him what I do. And first he looked in my nose. He said, very good. Very nice. He looked down my throat, beautiful. Then he looked in one of my ears, says, you're swollen. Well, I had some kind of infection. And because everything was coming back to be jungle, I mean, this was low and this was high and all these notes were coming back crazy. So then I showed him what I do, and you gotta be very careful with me. Same thing with the oral surgeon, took out my my wisdom teeth. He didn't want to touch me. Oh my God, I touched you, I ruined this guy's career. So I said, okay. I said to him, what do you know about voice diffusion, voice refraction? And he says, nothing. He said, you're in ear, nose, and throat? Brian, I read all your background. I found you through Lutheran General Hospital here. I read your background. You do this, that, and the other thing, and you don't know anything about it? Do you guys know anything about it? See, what I do, I don't do ventriloquism. That's voice diffusion, where somebody can actually put pressure on their vocal cords, but it sounds like it's coming from another place. I do what's called voice refraction. It takes a long time to do it. I can put pressure on my vocal cords and bend it and shape it and do all kinds of things. Reverse it, you know, you get one voice in a whole tonality. But in answer to your question, I really kind of stayed away from Sinatra because everyone started to do Sinatra and was really bad. You know what I mean? So I said, you know, I could probably go in there. But I decided, well, maybe I better stay away from that. And I shied away from Dean Martin, even though I could have done, you know, I was doing something like it. And I said, if I practice, because I heard him sing when he was younger, terrific, you know, the Summer Breeze and everything. And then when he got older, singing New York, New York, I saw him, you know, dragging and hurting, and it sounded terrible.
I was more interested in your ability to hear
the difference. Oh, I can hear it, and then reproduce it.
Right, and I was wondering if you ever picked an artist and had a voice for when he was younger and older, didn't it?
Oh, my God. I'll tell you how long it took me on something. Somebody needed this. Honest to God, guys, somebody needed this. It took me 6 weeks. I don't know why this person wanted it. It took 6 weeks, six long weeks to do Barry Manilow's voice. Now, why they wanted Barry Manilow's voice, mine was not the reason why. But it took 6 weeks. And I'll show you how I had to put that together, which is almost, you know, like how I could have put Sinatra's voice together. Barry has a Brooklyn accent, right? He's got a Brooklyn accent, that's not Barry's voice yet. And he's got a lisp. So you put the Brooklyn accent and you got the lisp, but that's not Barry's voice. And because of his nose, he gets very nasal. So I had to put the nasal in. And then you raise a little bit, and all of a sudden, now you got Barry Manilow's voice, right, talking. And how many people here ever had a love affair? You know, it's the same, and of course they wanted me to do it. Okay, fine. Another thing that took about 6 months to do somebody else, but somebody else that I know has been doing Neil Diamond. And there's a lot of Neil Diamond impersonators. Nobody seems to be doing original stuff. I haven't heard anybody, even Rich Little, he's just doing Presidents. I went outside that realm, because I used to listen to Rich Little, he was doing all this stuff, you know, he was doing a George Burns, you know. He was doing all these people that have, you know, or Jack Benny. I did Jack Benny. I won an award for doing Jack Benny, too. That was interesting. But he started to get sour because he didn't practice. I have to practice constantly. I practiced for you today.
I have to. Like, for example, nobody else does Alec Guinness's voice, and I do.
That's right. Nobody else does Sir Alec Guinness, but I do. As a matter of fact,
I had to do it for somebody, and they said, because he just passed. He passed away at the time, and they said, how he got the role in Star Wars. So I said, all right, I'll do this for you, because I heard him.
Well, I got this script from a person by the name of George Lucas, and I was familiar with the name, and I said, oh dear, this is science fiction. This is really not my cup of tea. And as I read through this, I said, this character is a cross between a samurai warrior and a wizard. I said, well, you can't get better than that. So I said, this is an original, so I decided I'll do it. And I've never been happier.
But it's fun. But I have to practice constantly. It's a constant struggle, because I never know what these agents are going to throw at me, because I had to do some real wild stuff, and sometimes I have to say no. Before they had the talking bathroom commodes and the toilets, they wanted me to do the voices of these toilets. In the back, you have a question. Yes. My favorite voices? God, they're all... What? Two of my favorite... I got a lot of... Well, they're all my... Well, I was cornered here one day because I knew they were going to be doing the Indiana Jones machine. I'll bring this up. And I got cornered. When I say got cornered is because they said, well, he'll be there. Don't worry about it. You know, we got to get... You know, and he was filming the fugitive in town here. I said, go to Harrison Ford. He said, no, you can do it. So I said, you want me to get into trouble? Because I'm not going to get into trouble, because I got into trouble, you know, in other things that I'm not going to go into. It's another story. I said, yeah, you want me to sit there on a mic? No, snakes. Why does it have to be snakes? I don't know. I'm waking this up as I go along. Hey, Chewie, is that you? I can't see, pal. So I said, I said, all right, if you need me, all right, call, but you got to get permission. Now, my big thing is get permission. You have to get permission, otherwise I can't do it. There's so many characters. They're all like my friends. The kids like want to hear Elmo, but the other kids want to hear Kermit and Miss Pig. You know, it depends. They're all my friends. Well, what's your favorite? Were you like The Simpsons? We go back to that now. Warner Brothers? What? Oh, Droopy?
Yeah.
Yes, I remember Droopy, of course. I haven't done his voice. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You made me so mad. I'm going to have to kill you.
Is that Droopy's voice? Yeah. Rob, go what?
Okay. Elmer Fudd. Have you tried Elmer Fudd?
Oh, be very, very, very quiet. I'm hunting rabbits.
Hey, you had your rabbits, huh, Doc? You want out of bullets?
I want out of bullets.
It's all out of bullets, Doc.
Because you got to do bugs with them. Because it doesn't work, you know. Look at that squeaky wabbit. Rob, you have a question. What? You're enjoying this too much, you know that? You're just enjoying it. Are you having a good time?
Yes.
Are you having a good time? Okay. That's the most important thing. I want you to have a good time. Yes, Rob. Well.
Oh,
yes, Wilma will be at the Playhouse, especially for Clarky and everybody else. Uh-huh. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know I have a videotape machine. Now I don't have to go anyplace else and expose myself. Got any hot dogs?
Uh-huh. I got Mr.
What?
Rogers.
Oh, we're going to do what? Is this now? It's request? This is an audition?
Hi there, neighbor. Do you know today's word of the day? Can you say scum bucket? That's our word for today.
You, Mr.
How you doing today?
Of course, you lower that voice and you get that, I forgot his name on the Family Guy.
I can't believe, Peter, that Quagmire had an affair with my wife.
Don't worry about that, I'm sex with anybody.
What was that? Oh, what, all that? Oh, that's just, what, you got more?
I've got a lot more.
Oh, Steve Kordak, ladies and gentlemen, the great Steve Kordak.
I will.
I'd like to tell you that I enjoy hearing you say that you don't smoke. I hope you can pass that on to the youth.
Yes, I pass that on to everybody. Please, please, please. One of my friends just passed away. Liver cancer. Please, it's not, I got a neighbor. I'm going to break his little head if he just stops smoking. It's not, it's poison. And then they say to me, Steve, since you brought it up, well, we're all going to die anyway. And I said, well, that's fine. That's fine. But why enhance the process of it? So please, no, I stay away from all that stuff. No, I don't smoke. It stinks. It stinks your clothes. It stinks everything else.
It's disgusting. Okay, it's absolutely disgusting.
Okay, sir. I follow you. I haven't smoked either.
Good. And that's why.
I just want to ask you another question.
Go ahead.
You said something about you don't drink. Can you kind of explain what you're talking about? You don't.
I don't drink any alcoholic beverages.
Oh, alcohol.
At all.
I see.
No, it doesn't do anything. I mean, I don't drink. I think the combination of drinking and smoking does put up, it ruins yourself. You dissipate the fear, you deteriorate. I'd rather not do that and ruin my, would you, it's like taking a knife and cutting my throat. Would I be stupid? Don't you think that's stupid for me to do something like that?
No, you can't.
Oh. I wouldn't be able to do the things that I do, you know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, my name is Bobby. What do you know today? Yeah, sure, right.
I did that on the phone one time. He said, would you, little girl, would you get your mother on the phone or your father on the phone? I want to talk to somebody else.
And then, of course, there's Henry. Yeah, that takes a lot of work to do. Yeah, sure.
Yes. Any, what? Yeah.
Back to making the pinball machines.
Yeah.
I've heard this forum from the artists and designers that many times when they're working on the game, in order to have the lead time to get it out on time, they don't know much about the movie. They don't know what if the script is finished. Now, what part of the timeline do you fit in doing the voices, and how comfortable are you that what you do is going to match up with the finished product?
All right. Good question. I got called in way ahead of time for the Pirates of the Caribbean. The thing is, we had to sit in a round table discussion, and I was watching pirate movies to get in the mood. I was watching Blackbeard Pirate and Treasure Island, the Pirate and Swashbuckler and this, that, and the other thing, and Blackbeard's Ghost and all this. And then we had to sit around and figure out what characters are going to be in here. Because the movie's not out. I don't know, you know, what voices are in the movie because it's not out. So I don't know what I'm dealing with. So it came back that none of the voices that I'm going to be doing on this thing could be in the movie. But the movie's not out yet. So what do I do? So we figured it out. And then it was sent to Disney for approval. And then I got a call that Friday, it's been approved, and then the following week we're already in the studio. And then, you know, I had to go back and redo some more because it wasn't enough. And then they had somebody do Captain Jack Sparrow in LA, because that's what they wanted. I said, okay, fine, I'm gonna follow the rules here. Oh, we only have 5 more minutes. Of course, I could be here for another hour.
Yeah. You talked about shaping your vocal cords to accommodate a voice. How did you teach this to yourself? You must be
After, I don't know. I thought, I'm a freak. I'm weird. What's going on here? Who knew after the time? I mean, oh my God, I can do this. I mean, why am I talking in Huckleberry Hound's voice? You probably don't know. You're probably not old enough to remember that voice. You probably know that voice.
Like I said, Your Honor, I can't get to see Wee Willie.
Well, I didn't know I could do that. And then Quick Draw McGraw. You remember that?
Oh, hello there, Bubba. Gotta see what's going on here. El Kabong.
And Quickstra, I don't think you're doing it right.
I'll do the thing around here, Bubba. Then you're right. Ooh, that's words.
Remember that? Remember these voices? And Snooper and Blabber and you like, you want to hear Snagglepuss? I'm doing it. See, I'm doing an audition again. You want to hear Snagglepuss?
Well, heaven.
Let's see.
Next stage left.
That's right. He knows the lines, folks. He's got to come up here and do it. He knows the lines. It's very good. Let's see. Remember Major Minor?
By Godfrey, Snagglepuss, didn't I belt you in Bombay?
On the contrary, Major, you got me below Bolivia. So exit stage left, even. What did you want to hear? What was that, Yogi? You want to hear Yogi Bear?
Boo-boo.
And Boo Boo?
Sure.
Yogi, I don't think the range is gonna like that.
Well, not the light bulb, it's one of those picnic baskets, eh?
Yogi, if you steal one more picnic basket, I'm gonna take you on a Jellystone. Remember that?
Yeah. Remember that?
What have we here? A picnic basket.
What have we here, Boob? A picnic basket. I hope it's not fruit and berries.
Now think about that. Think about Yogi. They actually took Art Carney from the Honeymooners to Yogi Bear, and they actually took Bert Lahr from The Wizard of Oz to do Snagglepuss. That's how bad. And you think about it, yeah. And Homer Simpson's voice, if you think about it, it's really Walter Matthau's voice. See, I'm showing you these little clues. In the beginning, Homer didn't sound like the way he sounds now, right? He sounded like Bert. Let's see if I remember the. Okay.
Bert, you can't tell anybody I'm going to a city. I'm playing Santa Claus.
Oh yeah, sure, Marge.
But it's Walter Matthau.
Are you crazy, Felix? You out of your mind?
So then he says, I can't keep that for 13 weeks. 18 years later. So he
headed over here, and then he raised it up here, and it became the normal Simpson voice that you normally hear every single day.
Yeah, it's like that. I know I'm a goofball, but what can you do? Very much you Jedi Master. You must be using the Force. You must use the Force.
And what? Yes. Oh man, okay, what happened was this is, okay. I recorded, they sent the tape to Mr. Schwarzenegger for approval. It got into the newspapers, and I didn't want it to get into the newspapers. He heard it, and he wasn't gonna do it, because he said,
well, what's in it for me?
And he heard it, and he said,
you know, this guy sounds more like me than I do, I better do this.
And Dwight, who works over at Stern, said, yes, you scared him into recording for the Terminator game. Thank you very much. Well, I didn't get, you know, he gets $30 million a picture.
Of course, when you're doing Arnold, as I said, you know, you have to talk improvisationally, and you have to enunciate, not just with the Austrian accent, you know. So you have to catch yourself, I'll be back. You have to say, all right, I'm here to talk about the kids and the computers.
But it scared him into it. Honest. We got time for one more question. Because somebody else, you got to stay for that. Yes. Three? Okay. Where were you guys before? Go ahead, ask.
You said you did a lot of singing games in the past.
Yeah.
In the 80s and 70s. You did South Park, didn't you?
South Park, they went to the people. That's Trey Parker and Matt Stone. Remember, I stay out.
Oh my God, Kenny's dead. What's going on with Kenny?
They wanted their people to do it, and I said, okay, I don't get, when they want, if they need me, fine, otherwise, they went to the actual people to do Kenny and all the other characters on South Park, because that's where the contract was, so I have to follow what they want. Who else? Okay.
Did you say you did Funhouse, or you heard?
No, when I was here in 1990, Funhouse was here, so he wanted to know, well, you've ever heard of our company? And I said, yeah, what, Funhouse? How do you know about Funhouse? Well, I was at the expo, but I didn't tell him that. Well, that was 16 years ago. It's 4 o'clock, we gotta wait, gotta get to the next speaker. I gotta go? All right, listen, I'll be around the entire time. Thank you very much, enjoy the expo. Thank you very, very much. Thank you very, very much.